everybody knows that it's a time in history in which the ramping up of the dark side is unprecedented, and we've been saying for years now how it's going to get worse. There's no question the Bible predicts the world around us will become, well, very, very anti-Christ, and there will be more and more decadence and more pressure from the fallen world, the old flesh, and of course the devil himself. So listen, as a believer in Christ, does that diminish the Word of God? Does it diminish the mission of God? Does it diminish the Word of God when it says that God opens doors that nobody can shut, and he shuts doors that nobody can open? We still deal with the sovereign power of God. Even in the worst of times, like Daniel in Babylon, 56 demonic temples, everything about society, politically, the military, society, everything was demonized. Yet Daniel resolved in his heart that he would not be corrupted, that he would not give in, that he would not be assimilated as a Babylonian, but he would stand as a believer and become a light in the darkness. And so he did. And through his life, he became the window by which God entered in and eventually toppled the demonic structures and powers, and then ultimately even the governmental systems. Someone has to stand and be a light in this dark world. Now listen, in 31 Days Ablaze and Power to Turn Your World Right Side Up, it involves seeing the possibilities. It really involves seeing what is possible all around us. You go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and you can read things that are so incredible. It begins in verse 1 by saying, "Now faith is being sure, or the evidence of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." Well, they believed God. And so you're going to see again, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. These individual believers, both men and women, had a revelation of God in a darkened world. Did they have the world, the fallen world system? Did they have the old flesh issues? Did they have the satanic agenda against them? Well, it's very clear as you read the Old Testament. A lot of battle in those days. But did they conquer kingdoms? Did they administer justice? Were they able to do incredible things? Can a believer in Jesus Christ, doing the mission of God, doing the will of God, praying with power for revival and the advance of the kingdom of God, can you infect the political system? Can you bring the blessing of God in all directions, whether that's economic or the media or the military, your educational areas, your city, your neighborhood? Can it be that a believer in Christ, when needed throughout the last 2,000 years, when the church had gone from once being alive but becoming dead, believers who were open to God were seeing the possibilities, looking at the Word of God, listening to the Spirit of God. As Jesus said, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." But he also said, that nothing is impossible to the ones that believe. And I think that's what so many of us are missing. We can spell out the darkness, but I found out years ago, just screaming at the darkness doesn't stop it. Exposing the darkness is a vital issue. But living in the power of Christ as light of the world, as the luminary in a dark and decadent age, coming with a gospel that is unprecedented, a power from God that is unprecedented, and listen, a transformation, a salvation that is unprecedented. The grace, the might, the power of God has not diminished. How do I see the possibilities? The Word of God. I would say again, read the Gospels and look what Jesus did. He even said that everyone that would believe in him would do the works that he had been doing, and even greater things than these. Have we forgotten that greater things can be done? When he talked about prayer, he said, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask?" Have we forgotten the sheer promises? Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Have we not learned the principle that we ask and seek and knock until the answer is in our hands? That involves personal revival, our local church's revival, the city impacted for Christ, or even a nation. Why can't we infect or affect our nation for Christ again? Why can't we see great and massive revival and spiritual awakening, like in the book of Acts, occur again and again and again in our cities and in our nations? Listen, Jesus Christ has not returned yet. And until then, we are called to occupy, to do the mission, the Great Commission. We're to take Christ to every single people group of the world. We're to go to the highways and the byways. But let me ask you something. Do you know of any believers putting out the effort? Putting out the effort in prayer, putting out the effort in reaching their cities for Christ? Does anybody go soul winning? Does anybody stand and challenge the church? Is there any church that on a weekly basis prays for the impact of God into their cities? Anybody taking on the cities? The greatest way to infect or to change or turn the world, the media, the educational system, the economic system, the governmental system, right side up, is the infection or the invasion of gospel grace, of the power of God, of His presence. And that always occurs when revival comes. That always occurs when great, powerful things, like in the days of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. One sociologist I read said, if not for the great revivals that impacted England through John and Charles Wesley, and I would say also through George Whitefield and others, Jonathan Edwards, of course, that those kind of revivals stopped the social collapse of England. Now, I was kind of shocked when I read that, but when I go back to the Old Testament or back into the book of Acts and see the applied mission of Christ, I see that cities are infected. I see that cities are changed. I see that a city, a government, an education system, an economic system will either be infected by the dark side and all that it's seeking to grab, or it will be challenged, invaded by the kingdom of God. How does that occur? Well, listen, do you see the possibilities? Do you see what could be done? Take a look at the book of Acts. Take a look at chapter 8. Just one believer. Just one believer filled with the Spirit of God, unaffected by the murderous threats that Saul of Tarsus was breathing out. Unaffected by the fact that the church was scattered. He didn't just sit around crying out to everybody, the church is scattered, the church is scattered, the church is scattered. He didn't just sit around crying out, Paul's breathing out murderous threats, run for your lives. It's very clear that this believer, scattered in the midst of persecution, stayed on target, stayed on mission. It's kind of like what occurs by the time you get to Acts 5:42. When the believer stayed obedient to God and continued to do the mission of God, great, powerful things occurred. The truth is, every time believers stop doing the will of God, stop doing the mission of God, any church that stops doing the mission of God will grow cold. Maybe once alive, but it will become dead. Any believer that stops doing the great mission of Christ, in so many ways, specifically in bearing fruit and seeing the powers of God demonstrated, will simply grow dead. But what we find in Acts 5:42, the believers who would not stop, the believers who continued to obey God, the believers that were challenged, some thrown in jail, persecuted, whatever was going on, they gathered together, rallied in their worship services, stuck to the Word of God, and continued to do the mission of God. And because of that, great power and might was unleashed. And by the time you come to Acts 5:42, you can read about it. They never stopped preaching and teaching that Jesus was the Christ, going from house to house, let alone the temple courts. You see the Word of God there? They never stopped. They never stopped. Now, here's a couple of categories we got to deal with. Number one, there are many believers that once were alive and they stopped. Whether it's the world pulling them into busyness or the old flesh that weakened them as they gave into it, or maybe it was the challenge of the devil himself and spiritual warfare, and they got weary and, well, they quit. And so if you once were alive in the mission of Christ and then stopped, realize the miracles, the power, the great, all kinds of things stop. And if you've stopped for a long time, it must be that we don't listen to the Spirit of God any longer. The Spirit of God would constantly call us, come before the throne of grace, build yourself up in your most holy faith, deny self, take up the cross and follow Christ. Now, there's another category. There are those who've never started. I believe that there are many believers in Christ, and I've seen this after 35 years of pastoring and being in full-time ministry all over. Many believers who've been basically discipled on the beginnings of prayer and going to church and a few things, which is all good, but it didn't go far enough. They didn't continue with learning about soul winning, learning about deliverance, learning about powerful answers to powerful prayer. They didn't learn about reaching the world and spiritual authority and the armor of God and never giving up and persevering and growing more and more powerful to the point, as we see in the book of Acts, it seems as though they were indefeatable. It seems as though they got so strong consistently, that they were unstoppable. Oh, maybe with Stephen, it was persecution and martyrdom, but did it really stop everything? One believer instantly went into the embrace of the living Christ, but the rest of the body of Christ continued, and Philip was one of those. Acts chapter 8 shows the possibilities. Everywhere you take this incredible, unprecedented, unequaled gospel of the great good news of God, of Christ, the cross, the blood of Christ, all that Jesus has done, God so loved the world. That's why he commanded, go to every creature, go to the highways and the byways. That's what the clothing of the power of the Spirit of God is for. The power of the Spirit of God is not just for our never-ending meetings of our own personal satisfaction and joy and our own blessing upon blessing upon blessing. We'll always get those. But if you do not yield to the Spirit of God for the purpose of that clothing of power from on high to be a witness to the world and to go, let me say again, some believers have never started. And if you're a believer who has never started to go, well, the possibilities are seeing why Jesus came. As the Father sent me, so send I you. That's what Jesus said. Jesus was training the body of Christ and a people that he would empower, not only that knew him, loved him, and were enjoying the love and the power and the presence and the salvation of God, but that they would be the servants of God. They would go and bear fruit. They would go and reach the world. So many believers are not even inspired when they hear the concepts, reach the world for Christ. And that, my friends, is evidence of Laodicean quenching the Spirit, and maybe that we have either stopped doing the mission of God or we've simply never started. You look at the book of Acts and see the possibilities. You look at the Word of God. It is the Word of faith. Romans chapter 10. It is the Word of faith. You read Hebrews chapter 11 and you see that faith is active. Faith has this sense of stepping out, believing what God has said, believing Him for His power and presence, believing Him to accomplish. That's what the early disciples did. That's why they won thousands and thousands. That's why when they came to a city, you'll read it if you read the book of Acts, where the people said, hey, these people that are going all around the world, they've now come here. They're turning the world upside down. Well, that's how they saw it. That's how a pagan world saw it. I think it's turning the world right side up. I think when one man or one woman gets saved out of the darkness into the light, out of being upside down, cut off from God, hell bound and in sins, now forgiven, now empowered, now embraced, now knowing God, now the gift of eternal life, now the power to grow and then accomplish things that matter. You want to see the possibilities? Well, take a read of Hebrews 11. You want to see the possibilities? Then read through the book of Acts. Get inspired. You stand and believe. You tell the Lord Jesus, I will stand here. Listen, like the old hymn says, though none go with me, still I will follow. I mean, repeat that again and again today. Though none go with me. So many people are waiting on somebody else. Get up. Be the spark. Do the will of God. I'm sure that as you surrender and stand up and are clothed in the power of the Spirit of God and begin to do the mission of God, as you do it and grow in it and become powerful to the point of being unstoppable, bearing much fruit, you won't have to say a lot. Everybody will see. You'll be the spark. That's part of the possibilities. Maybe Philip never realized that he would be a spark. By his obedience, great and powerful things. Lives changed, people were healed, demons kicked out, a city was engaged, and darkness was crushed, and Christ was proclaimed. Maybe he had no idea that he would be a word of faith, showing the possibilities. But he has shown it to me. And the book of Acts will show you the powerful, miraculous, extraordinary things God is and will do through those who will stand up, believe, and step out in faith in obedience to Christ. 31 Days Ablaze. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.